So, I want to begin with John 1:1. There's a contrast here between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. Because the Old Covenant is written in Hebrew, and it starts out like this. Bereshit bara Elohim. And what he's talking about here is God created the heavens and the earth. But there's another creation, not just the natural heavens and the natural earth. That one is subject to nature, subject to reason, subject to moral behavior. But this one is illustrating the coming of the Lord. So it starts out in the same way, in the beginning. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But this one starts, in the beginning was the Word. So this Word of God is called Hologos in the Greek language. And it's also talking about the same beginning, but it's a different beginning. This one is the new creation, which is us. We are the church. And in order to understand that, you have to know that the only way we could ever come to God is not through the law of the Old Testament, but by the promise that was made to Abraham. Our whole Bible is nothing but a promise. Our whole Bible, Old and New Testament, is nothing but a promise. A promise by God, unilaterally, one-sided, where God said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven times, he made this covenant with Abraham, and Jesus is now the fulfillment. But the interesting thing here is not that God became man. Verse 14. The interesting thing here is that the God who became man, and you've probably never heard this before, is also our husband. Because Jesus, though he was born of Mary, a virgin birth, but he also, she was impregnated by God himself, not physically, but spiritually. So the whole idea that Jesus is our husband puts us as new creations under the law of the husband. And he said these words in Hebrews 13th chapter, 5th verse. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, all of us here have been in situations where we've thought, felt, imagined that God hath forsaken us. And all of us have had that experience, and it's necessary to your growth. So you need to know that your husband, Jesus Christ, is the one that is married to you, and you're under the law of the husband, which means he'll never leave you. So even though you think he left you, he didn't. Even though you imagine he left you, he didn't. Even though you feel abandoned, he didn't forsake you. He cannot. So I doubt that I can prove it to you, but I can tell you that the words of this first chapter are speaking about how we became the new creation, not born of bloods, not born of the will of man, and not born of the flesh. We are a spiritual people. No longer born of the flesh. We've been reborn from above. Born again. Or born anothen from above. We're born from heaven, out of God. So this is so impossible for human beings to grasp or understand. So you'll have to just read it until you understand that from the beginning, the very beginning, because Christ caused your new birth, he caused you to be born of God. Otherwise, no one is born of God. You're born by God, but you're not born out of God. Ek tu theou. So, if you're born out of God, you're a partaker of the divine nature. That is your eternal life. That promise which he made to you to fulfill Abraham's promise made you a new creation. The old has passed away. Perfect past. Past perfect. And the new has come. Perfect present. Present perfect. So those two words are, I'll say, never used, but seldom used in the Bible. But when it uses those words, the only one that's perfect is God. So if you're perfectly in the present, that's because God rebirthed you. You're born again, a second time. But this birth supplants, replaces your former life. You are no longer who you were. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So you're no longer yourself. You are a new self. Because your brain cannot fathom that, nor should you bother your brain to fathom that, you just need to hear the words, because by hearing this Logos, who became flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14, because of that, you need to realize that there's power in the word.
Amen.
There's power in the word. There's authority in the word. So as many as received him, as many as received him, because people started to believe in him, because faith cometh by hearing. And so when you hear these words, it's a mystery. You cannot explain this mystery, and I'm not going to try. I can only tell you, if you read these words, it touches your heart. It touches your heart in a way that no human words can ever do. It's deeper than any human relationship you have. It's greater than anything you've ever heard before. So God is your Father, but he also gave to you someone who will be your husband from now on, because he already is. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. If you cling to that, if you abide in that truth, it'll set you free from this world. Otherwise, you're part of the world and you'll perish. So everyone in this world that's an earth dweller is only born naturally, and you will perish in your sins. But Jesus Christ came not only to forgive you all your sins, but also to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but also to perfect you in love. And the greatest of these is not faith or hope, but love. Because God is love. So this message is very, I would say, complex or difficult to understand, but you have to understand how righteousness, God's righteousness, works for you, because that's the only reason you are accounted as righteous before God. Not by doing the works of the law, but by believing in him who justifies the ungodly, which all of us are. All of us are born in sin. No man has ever been not born in sin. Ever since Adam and Eve, every one of us are born of the flesh. the flesh in your heart, the flesh in your soul, the flesh in your body, the flesh in your behavior. So all of those works of the flesh cause you to perish. Because of that rebellion, because of that sin, everybody has it, Jesus needed to come 4,000 years into the world, 4,000 years into the world, to the day, to the absolute moment. He had to then come and get you born again, born a second time. So now you're born of the Spirit, and you worship God in the Spirit and in truth, and that sets you free forever from this world. Now, does that all make sense in the sense that you can't understand it? You can only hear it, because faith cometh by hearing. It doesn't come by thinking. It doesn't come by feeling. It doesn't come by wanting. It doesn't come by doing. Amen. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, to that one, he accounts their faith as righteousness. That is Romans 4, verse 5. So, since Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, because he is your husband, if he's your husband, the law of the husband, you're under. You're under the law of the husband. Now, we're not talking about human marriage. We're talking about God's marriage. It applies to humans as well. But the husband's law, you cannot be free from that until he's dead. Until he is dead, if you're the wife. And all of us here are part of the Godhead, Theou. En arche, in the beginning, was the word, en hologos. So in the beginning was the word. In other words, there was no beginning because Jesus began it all. You might say the Father did, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are the Godhead. He was then called Hologos, the Word of God. But that Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, as we'll see in verse 14. So John 1, chapter 14, and the Word became flesh. But I want to read to you how it begins. En arche en Hologos, Kai and Hologos ein was proston theon. Pros means toward, in the direction of, or in the presence of God the Father. So Jesus is righteous from the beginning because he has no beginning and no ending. Jesus is eternal, everlasting. So because of that, again, don't try to brain your way into this. Don't try to say, that wasn't clear. None of this will be clear. It's a mystery. It's the mystery of righteousness. And God can do it any way he wishes. He always gets his way. Now, if he says he's married to you and he'll never leave you, then you cannot die. Or forsake you, then whatever he's forsaken, whatever he has forsaken, he said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never be just God in heaven. Hologos. I have now become Son of Man, and therefore I will marry you. And so you are betrothed to God. But as you're betrothed to God, you need to realize that this God you're betrothed to, and Hologos was God. He is God himself. So, and anything that was made by Jesus Christ. That is, the Father, working through the Son, the Word, spoke, and there was light. Spoke, and there was trees. Spoke, and there was a cloud. Everything that was a creature of nature. Subject to nature. So everyone on earth will perish because of sin. Because of Adam and Eve. Don't blame Adam and Eve, because if you were there, you also would have sinned, because you do now. You also sin every single day. And he has to renew you daily. Not only do you believe and all your sins have been forgiven, that's the original understanding of justification by faith. It means pardon or forgiveness or the ransom paid or the dowry paid over for you. So he purchased you with his own precious blood. And he purchased your freedom with the same blood. And your perfection with the same blood. Now that you're born again, your birth will give direction to your spiritual life. Many people begin in the spirit, but they end up in the flesh. That would be bewitched. And so witchcraft is not a woman stirring a pot. Witchcraft is not people announcing mantras or sayings or magic things. It has nothing to do with that. Bewitchment is you began in the spirit and now you're ending in the flesh. Who has bewitched you that you began in the spirit? You're born again. But now you've gone back to the flesh. You've gone back to sin, either open or hypocritical. So you may look religious. You may look like your heart is your mind. They're not. Your heart is totally different. And Jesus lives in your heart. You love him with all your heart, soul, and strength. You don't see it today, but the good work he began in you, he will surely complete. If that's true, and he'll never leave you or forsake you, that means if he lives forever, you live forever. If he conquers Satan, you'll conquer Satan. Whatever Jesus does for you, in you, and through you, is you. You're a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So, that's who you are. So, this whole chapter and whole book is all about the deity of Jesus Christ. Enarche en ho logos. Kai ho logos proston theon. He was in the presence of God. If you're in the presence of God, you have to be holy. One sin would eliminate you. If God finds any sin in his bride, any sin in the bride, then she's rejected. She has become an adulteress, a whore. And so the Bible is very clear about how the world began and how the world will end. There's only two categories. You're either born of the flesh or you're born of the spirit. Now, I won't ask, but each one of you wouldn't be here unless the Lord hath worked on your heart so that you not only have a heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, but you also have a soul and with all your soul. And you also have a body and with all of your strength. Or your mind. In other words, all three ways you are being renewed by God the Father. You must have the discipline that your soul is dead so that you can love others. If you don't lose your life, you never found your life. So your life is becoming a lover of the Jesus Christ. You are a lover of Jesus Christ. You didn't do that. God did that. You are now also being cleansed of all unrighteousness. You didn't do that either. So even your sanctification is a gift of the blood that he shed on Calvary. That's the foundation of your Christian walk. If you're not born again, you cannot ever learn. You cannot learn. So all humanists are liars. All people that believe in man are liars. All people that worship idols are liars. In other words, God is not only good, there's no one else that's good but God. Even one God. So now I'm teaching you such simple things, but they are not. They're complex because you have to carry in your mind not how you think, how you think things out. You cannot do that. You have to think how God thinks. He is wanting you to think after him. And so God is viewing the world totally different. You need wisdom. That's why America has fallen apart. America fall apart because not how they began. They began in the spirit. They knew this was a gift of God. Everyone knew it. Washington knew it. Adams knew it. Hamilton knew it. Jefferson knew it. Madison knew it. And they all knew it. They knew this was not an ordinary thing, but they were not setting up the kingdom of God. They were setting up a civil government. They called it a republic, res publica. The res publica is the public thing, and never in the history before this time did the people ever experience that they were the sovereign. Not kings, not parliaments, not democracies, not any form or mixture thereof, but you, the whole body of the people, acting in your capacity as we, the people. You created the Constitution. You appointed the institution that would implement it. And you were the ones that picked the original occupants of those offices that gave you a republic of laws, not of men. Now, where did they get all these ideas from here? They weren't humanists. They weren't enlightened people. They weren't what you think they were. Because all the writers today say we are a democracy. The one thing they hated more than anything else was a democracy. And they called it mob rule. They called it the maddening masses. They called it what it was. When a group of people decide anything, it's worthless. When a group of people have a committee, it's worthless. That's why your government doesn't work. Why? Not because of the government, not because of how they set it up. It doesn't work because the generation after 1836, when Madison died, he was the last of the patriarchs. He was the last one. Was also the father of the Constitution. And wanted religious freedom for the churches and all that kind of stuff. But they didn't know how to educate the citizenry to have wise and virtuous people. And therefore, from then on, they became a democracy. Mob rule. Texas is ruled by a mob today. It is. It's not ruled by godly men. It's ruled by men of God, but when they get into the practicality of how it works, there is no justice and there's no peace on earth, and there never will be until Jesus comes back a second time. Now, so don't fret because of evildoers. They're there everywhere. And don't complain and don't murmur, because God is in control. The same God that created the heavens and the earth is the same God that produced the Lord Jesus Christ, sending him to earth so that he might make you a man or woman of God. Male or female, you're the bride of Christ. And so you're under the law of your husband, and he promises never to leave you. Now, I want to distinguish two words. Technon. Technon theou. T technon is a little child. So of a person that's an adult, anthropon, an adult is a person, but he's also a son, but he also could be a husband. So therefore, and those in the middle are young men and young women, your teen years, after you begin to grow and become independent. Everyone who is over two senses that they have a will of their own. They have hands. They have feet. Now they can walk. And now they begin to talk. And they will rebel against you no matter what rules you can. You can have all kinds of rules, but they will forget them and rebel deliberately, consciously, knowingly. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. History could be made up of those kinds of people. But God also planted in the earth you, the new creation, to be the light and to be the salt. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And so the salt makes everything acceptable. And when Jesus comes back, through faith, he will hand up the kingdoms of this world to his Father in heaven. Actually, to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He will then come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and with vengeance for the wicked, but deliverance for the righteous. So you're part of that, and God gave you this free gift. It doesn't cost you anything. There'll be no taxes in heaven. There will be nothing burdensome. You'll be just blessed by God forever and ever. Do you deserve that? The answer is you do, because of what Jesus did for you and in you and through you. Amen. So you do deserve it because you're born of God. Amen. Free gift. Totally free. On chapter 8 of this same book, verse 32 through 36, five verses, it says that if you continue, 4, 5, and 6, if you don't just stop with 4, being born again, but if you also need to have freedom, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there's where liberty comes in, the same liberty that was in the beginning when God created the world, when he said, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. Now, all means all. How many know that all means all? Well, there were three different alls. The one was all the trees. That's everyone. Including the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which everyone has, you're a sinner. You're rebellious. You did not do what God expected you to do, wanted you to do. But since he doesn't force his way, he only operates by free men and free women. Then he sets you free so that you could love him with all your heart. And now he's working on your soul, and then he's working on your body. And that will not be perfected until he comes back the second time, the latter part. Then you'll become a son of God. He who then is born of the Spirit is also led by the Spirit of God and becomes a son of God. They are the ones that are called sons. Sons are not children of God. Everyone is born a child, a technon. Technon would go all the way from being a baby all the way until you're maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere in there. And a toddler, and you've already begun school. That would be a lad. That would be a toddler. That would be a baby. All of those are part of technon. So that's your beginning, chair four. Chair four, you don't have to see it, but chair four is that when you're justified by faith, that means you got all of this because you didn't keep the law. Instead, you believed in the promise. That's all there's to it. All you have to do is believe that God is good and that you're not. You are completely dependent upon your husband, his law, because you're born again. So you're dependent, and you'll never, ever worry about him forsaking you. You could forsake him. He will never forsake you.
Amen.
Even if you go to hell on your own, he'll still be with you. In the Psalms, it says something like, wherever I go, on earth or under the sea or wherever I go, you're there. God will always be there with his unconditional love. And you either believed it or you didn't. You either believed it or you didn't. And that's why we meet as a church. We meet as a church to then, not so much giving a commentary on, but actually just reading the Word of God, because it's too powerful. And that's how faith comes. The commentaries are not as critical as the Word itself. You live by every word that constantly is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Now, whether they're statements of truth, declarations, or whether they're promises, or whether they're commands, doesn't make any difference. God does all three. And so, for me, the Bible is nothing but a promise book. This is my promissory note from God on high. And I read it over and over again because it's all good news. Everything in the Bible, Old and New Testament, is good news. Even when it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. I don't care what it says. Whatever it says, God is just speaking to sinners. That's the only one he can speak to, because that's the only one he has on earth, is sinners, after Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve were innocent, but then they became guilty. Darkness entered their soul, and therefore they began to sin. Darkness entered their heart, and then light was gone. So, this is how it reads. In the beginning, en arche en hologos, in the beginning was the Word. Kai hologos en proston theon, and the Word was in the presence of Almighty God. Kai theos en hologos, and you have to reverse it in the Greek, and the Word was God. So that word, theos, is God. In other words, the same God in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and then God was the Word. It makes it very clear, and everything that was made by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're in the very first chapter, Genesis. First, not only chapter, right away. They're right there in the very beginning. That God take the chaos, spoke his word, and it became ordered. Because of sin, the whole world is today out of order. And so America hasn't lasted any longer than any other nation. America still is there in name, but it's not there because Ichabod, the glory of God, has departed from America. Now, there's only a few people, and I think most of them are in Texas. There's only a few people that still believe in the Word of God. And even here, most of the church is Laodicean, a lukewarm church. In other words, they make provision for the flesh. In other words, everybody here wants to have pleasure and avoid pain. You're a hedonist, even Christians. You could say amen.
Amen.
Even Christians sometimes sin, like once every hour, or maybe every half an hour, or maybe a nanosecond. Did you realize that Christians still sin? And so trust no man. Trust no prince. Trust nobody. Pastor. Don't trust anybody because they're not God. So only God can reach your heart. No words of man can reach your heart. Even though we testify of God, you'll have to have a personal experience of that word in your heart. And God is willing to do it. That's why he wrote this word for you. This is not written for everybody. It's written for you in particular. So that everyone might be born again, filled with the Spirit. And then led of the Spirit. That's why you're a son of God. So don't be a child of God. Be a son of God. That's six. But it takes your death in chair five to get there. You have to die to yourself so that you can love others. And that is, for me, a experience. I remember reading in the Bible, as Christ loved the church, so every man must love his wife. I remember reading that and realizing, even though I read it a lot of times, it never meant anything to me. I just read it. But all of a sudden, I realized, you're married, and you're married to Peggy. You need to be dead. I knew that. I don't know how you are, Dan. You need to be dead so that she may be blessed. She gets the blessing, you get the burden. That's what Jesus did. As Christ loved the church, she owed a debt, he paid the debt. She needed wisdom, he gave her wisdom. She needed favor, he gave her favor. In other words, everything the husband anticipates even before it's spoken or seen. What his wife needs. God knows all your needs, and God is about to come back. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. Nobody knows even the season, but people sense we're in some kind of season right now because we're in the last days, but we don't know exactly when. And don't even be curious. Don't even try to find out because you'll never do it. So since he said you won't, never worry about the wicked. The wicked will be perished, just like Israel saw the Pharaoh one day, and they sent Moses to God to see what they should do, whether they should paralyze, whether they should surrender, whether they should fight with pitchforks. How are you going to combat 600 chariots with powerful warriors with swords and spears? And how are you going to defeat them? There's no way. And so they panicked and said, what do we do? Run? Do we swim? I don't think we can swim all the way to Saudi Arabia. How are we going to do it? Do we yell at them? What do we do? You're a leader. How many know in the Bible, if you're a leader, you're a servant of God, and you have to go to God? And so they sent him to God. Well, you go and talk to him. We don't want to talk to him, but you talk for us. And so they thought he would hear God because he's a leader. He's got a position. But when he went to God, God said to him, oh, you worried about that? Don't worry, I'm in control. Just tell him party time. This would be a time for a party. No, they're scared and they're going to stone me. Yes, I know. But don't worry, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Okay, what do I say to him? The Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see tomorrow. They'll be gone tomorrow. So during the night, and he came back and told them that, and they were ready to stone him. Because that was stupid. You didn't hear God. You just said, have a party. That's stupid. This is bad. Very bad. Very, very bad. We need to know what to do. You're supposed to be a leader. Get something. Get back and get another word. No. That was the word. The Egyptians whom you see today, they'll be gone tomorrow. How many know that that's the word today for the church today?
Hallelujah.
The wickedness that's in the world today, you're not going to erase it. You're not going to get rid of it. You're not going to improve this world. The wicked are here to stay till Jesus comes back. Then immediately they're gone. The Antichrist, false prophet, thrown into the lake of fire, no even examination. Done. Because they've already proven themselves, and God reads the heart, and all the demons that are with them into the fire. The devil, Satan himself, the inspiration for the Antichrist and the false prophet, the one that set up the Jacob's trouble, the one that slaughtered 2/3 of the Jews, that one, he will also be put in the bottomless pit. It's a big pit that all the way runs from the earth all the way down into the lake of fire beneath. There's a door at the top and the door at the bottom. The top is where Hades begins, underground. And the bottom, there's an angel sitting there, an angel, a good angel, and he opens or closes that door. One on the top opens and closes. So when Satan was then for 1,000 years, hasn't happened yet, has not happened yet, for 1,000 years, you will be in this bottomless pit. But the door is closed on the bottom, but we're opening it up for you. Get in there. After the 1,000 years, you'll be loosed for a while. Are you aware of this? I want you to be sober about this, because it's what's going to happen. Whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, it's going to happen just the way he said. There are some things. He has two wills. One is a permissive will. The other is an actual will, that what he says actually happens. This one is actually happening, but you haven't seen it yet. But when he comes back, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is, King of kings, Lord of lords. And he who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Want to purify yourself? You just need to read the word. You just need to, faith comes by hearing. You just need to read the word until it sinks in, reaches your heart, sets you free forever and ever and ever. Amen. So the best is yet to come for the righteous. The worst is coming for the wicked, and there'll be no more. The Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. So the east wind blew through the camp that night. And so Pharaoh, then sitting up there, set up camp rather than charge on them. God caused that. So he didn't charge on them. They were right there. It was easy to get. But he waited because a cloud came over them. And that kind of, where are they? They're up there. Well, why doesn't he come down? Well, I have to go to God, like you said. And he said, have a picnic. Enjoy yourself. How many of that, when you enjoy yourself, that's not permitted? However, when God says it, it's permitted. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So, because good news is going to happen. Because God is always a good newser. He always has only good news for his wife. For the one who is under his law. That is, under his promise. Did you know the law is actually the promise? I've said this a million times, but I like saying it because it's the way I read the Bible.
Amen.
When God gives a law, like, you shall not have any other gods before me. That's the first commandment. But it isn't a command. It's actually a promise. You shall not have any other gods before me. So you don't have any other gods before him. It's a description of who you are in Christ. It's a description. You shall not have any other gods. I don't.
Hallelujah.
And you can say that perfectly because it's perfect. Because it's said from heaven to earth. So that you actually read all laws as promises.
Amen.
The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That means Jesus died. For you. In you. Through you. That's all it means. The law was never given for any man to accomplish. He knew all men were sinners. And so why would he give a law which no one could keep? Because it wasn't for you. It was for Jesus. and Jesus kept it for you. He loved God with all his heart and all his soul, all his strength, and he loved your neighbor as yourself. He did both of those, so he fulfilled the law. Now it's just a description of who you are in Christ. Everything he commanded, he provides. Everything he commanded, he provides. He's a husband. You're under the law of a husband that loves you unconditionally. Now, are you following me so far?
Yep.
This first chapter is so rich that it would take me forever, and I would not even get anywhere to try to explain it. I can't. I don't have the capacity to do it. I just know what it says. So, this whole idea that God was in the beginning with God, and he's the one that became flesh, so that we then, and this is what it says, but as many as received him, to them, the ones that received him, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter, he gave authority, not power, authority to become children of God, technon theou. Children of God. That means you're a child when you're a newborn Christian. You're a young child. The technon. This is in 1 John. It has, in chapter 2, it has the three stages in life. A technon, little one, then a teenager, and then an adult. Adults have children, and they inherit, and so on and so forth. And they give everything to the child. Now, if the testator dies before you, you get the inheritance. But if he doesn't, however, what you don't know is that as a son, you can't inherit, because the Roman understanding of adoption is not adopting children. The Roman understanding of adoption is that you're an adult, a son, and therefore Caesar, Julius Caesar, that Caesar, the one that was killed in 44 BC. He had two sons. They were ne'er-do-wells. One son he decided to adopt was his sister's son, and his name was Caesar Augustus, but he hadn't become Caesar Augustus yet, because the night before he was killed, he made out his will, and all his money, all his wealth, all his power, all his vision went into that son, and nobody else got it. Everyone was quite angry at him, particularly the Republicans. The Republic was a republic under Julius Caesar. But when he crossed the Rubicon, that's because he said, because if you cross the Rubicon, you're dead. So they killed him. When you cross that river, anyone who does that is an enemy of Rome. But he just won all his battles, and he could easily turn it into a dictatorship, into a tyranny, into a despotism. And so he wanted to do it, but he never did it. But he adopted this son the night before, 18 years old. Just 18 years, a youth. But he noticed that when he would speak, his sons didn't pay attention to him. But he noticed, this one follows my word. This one, he has the vision that I have. And he listens to me night and day because he's 18. He's eager to find out his father's religion, his father's philosophy, his father's political views. So adoption, the New Testament follows the Roman understanding of adoption when you're a son, not a child. A child of God has no inheritance. You have to wait for the testator to die. But a son of God is someone that has an inheritance, and they're adopted into the family. You can read this in Romans 8, chapter 13 through, I'd say 25. You can read this easily. It's throughout the whole scripture. So chair 4 is child, foundation. Chair 5 is the building when you die. And chair 6 is when you resurrect in Christ Jesus, and you have the power of his resurrection working in you. That is loving your neighbor. The whole purpose of power is to love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
To love your neighbor as yourself. Anytime politics is supposed to be part of that, politics is nothing but loving your neighbor. But who can love their neighbor? Nobody. Except us. So this republic of laws which they invented with words, not men, would be laws. Which laws? The natural law and the revealed law. Those are the two. Those are the two laws. And all the founding fathers understood that. So the laws of nature and nature's God, Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence. And so that law was powerful. And so if those are above us and we always submit to those laws, they govern then the Bill of Rights. They govern the Bill of Rights. So all the Bill of Rights are your natural and revealed duties, liberties, and freedom. So those things that give you a right to worship God according to the dictates of your own conscience were given by God. And so they're in those two higher law jurisprudence. Higher law jurisprudence means the law that is above our Constitution. The Constitution is submitted to those higher laws. Today, no judge in Dallas, Fort Worth, anywhere in the world rules by those two laws. But they're under them, whether they like it or not. They're all under them. And when Jesus comes back, he'll judge the world with equity, equal to the thought, intent that he had when he created the world, that all men will bow to me and will give, confess their sins before me. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And they will submit to him and be dependent upon him. And when the final judgment is made on the earth, which will be the last thing of history, the last thing in time, we're very close. When they receive that, they will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Everybody here, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Do you believe that? Do you believe you'll hear those words? "Well done." Why? Because you didn't do anything. Because you did nothing. All you did was believe that God was good. You did not believe that you were good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You did not believe you were good. You're dependent upon him, always dependent forever and ever and ever. So, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the one that purchased you with his own precious blood. And that blood is able then to purchase you forever and ever and ever. And so Jesus could not divorce you. He cannot forsake you. He has to be lifted up. And when he is lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. So anyone that wants to can believe, because there's nothing you do. He has done everything. So this gospel is good news, and there's not one shred of bad news throughout the whole scripture. Not one. Because you say, "Well, what about the wicked?" Because God gave them an opportunity, all they had to do was believe. They chose not to believe. Did you know that when God speaks to you, it always accomplishes everything God wants? And since God reads the heart, I trust God. If God says this person's a sinner, they're a sinner. If he says they're a saint, then they're a saint. Whatever God says, I believe it. So I'm not going to have remorse about someone that was a friend of mine that didn't make it. I don't have any remorse because I trust God. Because if he loved me and everybody that I know, I trust him that he is fair, he's equitable, and he'll give you exactly what he originally intended when he created the world in the first place. So the fact that people perish, that isn't because God didn't love them. You hated me without a cause. No, because I always loved you. And I will ever, forever, and ever love you. It's just that you chose not to believe. So those are the only two categories. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. So this is good news, because God is always fair. As a matter of fact, if he even had a shred, an inkling, that someone would be a believer, he would hold off coming back till that person received Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important for you to witness to other people, because you have the truth that'll set them free. You are the truth that will set them free. Well, you're not the truth, but you have that truth living in you, who will do it for you, and then in you, and then through you. So, listening to truth today is very difficult. And that's why it's very hard for you to believe that man could create a civilization that would last. Man cannot create any civilization. He never has and never will. The only way you can do it is to let Jesus renew it, cleanse it from all unrighteousness, just like he does us, and then lift up all the civilizations. In the end, civilization will be exactly what God intended when he first created it. His intention with us, I intend something but don't do it. But with God, if you intend something, he always does it. Whatever he intends is going to happen. And so you cannot gainsay God. That is, you cannot argue against God and win the argument. Or you cannot thwart his purposes. Whatever he purposed, that's what's going to happen. And that has happened. And he's never lost, and he never will. So I'm excited about this good news, because it's always good news. And so I want to live my life so that people see not me, but the new me, Christ in me, me. There's nothing in me that's worthwhile. I'm a nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you have to have that fruit. We'll talk about that next week. Next week, I'm going to talk about Jesus being the vine and you being the branches, chapter 15. And when you see that, you'll realize that if Christ is in you, and that's all you need, how you do that is just by faith, you believe that God is good. You're not believing that you're good. You're believing that he is good, that he loves sinners, that he absolutely loves sinners. If he could ever find a sinner, he would love them. Raul. If he ever found a sinner, he would love them. Amen. Right there. All he's looking for is sinners. He doesn't care about your sin. He already paid for that. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, his blood was shed for everybody. 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 There's no such thing as you get there and you see that Cain is at the gate instead of Peter. You see Cain is there. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? See the quote. How'd you get here? What if Adolf Hitler is there? He shaved his mustache, of course. But what if he's there? What if, I'm not judging. I don't care what their life looked like. I only care about their heart. God judges the heart, not the deeds. You all think, because it says so in the Bible, he judges deeds. No, he judges deeds to probate, to see how your heart is. So your deeds only reflect your heart. That's why deeds are so important, because they probate. They're the ones that prove that you're a Christian. So your deeds don't save you. It was your heart believing in Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I just said? So all the rest is gift, 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 gift. Everything that God has ever done. He is the only giver of every good and perfect gift. So everything that you have, thank you, Jesus. That's all you can do to a God who's everything. Who's done everything, who is everything, who wants you to have everything. He will not withhold any good thing from you. Are you aware of this? This is what made America great in the first place. Now not so great. And this is what made Texas great in the first place. this God-forsaken land, no Mexican even wanted to live here. There were a handful of people, but no one wanted to move here from Mexico. But then they had an idea that, hey, let's get those silly Americans to come down here. So all the silly Americans came down here, and they liked it. They liked to have lots of land. And a landowner used to be a big deal. It still is. Still, the land produces. And you have the land, and even though it looked like a God-forsaken place, it turned out to be there were hidden things in the soil. And there were, you know, big ranges and so on and so forth. So it turned out to be not just bull nettle. It turned out to be rich. And today, Texas should lead the way. I don't know that it will. But Texas should lead the way. But let's just start with us. Let's not start with anybody else. How many here love Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and strength? By faith.
Amen.
Just by faith. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. Just do it. Believe those words. God is good.
Amen.
That's all. And your life then should prove that. Your life should prove that. The proof doesn't make it so. It is so, and that's what the life looks like. You then reveal Jesus in all you do. You reveal the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all that you do. And they give glory. When they see your good works, they won't give you glory. They'll give glory to your Father in heaven. So that's all they want to do, is when they see your good works, they know that was God. What you said was God. What you did was God. They can see your works. How many here have perfect works? Nobody. Yeah, you have perfect work by faith. But you don't have perfect works because you don't see them. But when he appears, you'll see him. You'll actually, all mysteries will be revealed to you. A father who loves his son chastens him, but he chastens him in hope so that you will then eventually learn from your mistakes and then let God do it instead of you. You can't help God. God has already done everything for you. Let him do it. Let God be God. Let God be God. In other words, don't help him. Let God be God. Same as a wife. Let every woman here know, whether you're married or not, you should get all the blessing. And the weight should not be on a woman. And there's no law in the church. There's only grace. There's only favor. There's only mercy. There's only kindness. There's only goodness. So we are not under law. We're under grace. We're under God's graciousness. If you have a gracious God, you have everything. If you have a gracious God, you have everything. And that's what made America great, and it will still make America great. Maybe people hate Trump and all. That's silly stuff. They could be done away with and so on. Don't worry about that. Don't pray for that. Bless them, forgive them, love them, pray for them. Because this world is not full of bad people. Everyone's bad, so that's saying nothing. Everyone is bad and they're sinners and they need to repent. But if you're not the church, how can God then indict the world when you're not the church? The problem is in the church. There's no problem in the world. He's not trying to make Obama say sorry or Hillary to say, you know, I cheated. He's not even interested in them. He's only interested in his church. He's not interested in the bad guys. He's interested in the good guys being good, which means what? Don't do it. Let God do it all. He already did 2,000 years ago. That's your foundation. Now he's doing it. Now he's wanting your life to not be in your hands. Bad management if you're managing your own life. Everything today is, you know, be a good, you know, self-contained, self-governing person. But that's not in the Bible. The Bible is let go. Just let everything go. Trust God. People don't trust God because they trust themselves. They want to deify themselves. They want to make immortality or something last forever. Never happen. Only God has all of that as a gift. He doesn't want you to earn it. He wants you just to receive it. He doesn't want you to earn it. Just receive it. This is good news.
Amen.
Right. Jesus is your husband. I read that in the first chapter of John. Jesus is your husband. You don't think it says it. It's because you have to read the original language to do it. You can't do it in English. So you have to divide between 14, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and tabernacled and so on. But it's all there. And the words are there. They're in the words themselves. But you have to understand these words. And so when you became a little child, that's how you're born again. You're just a small child, meaning spiritually. You have the Spirit in your heart. You don't have it yet in the soul. You're having it. It's becoming, because every day is working on you, removing all the sin in your life. How many know that takes more than a week? It takes more than a week to get rid of all your sin. So he says, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, all, it could sound like all. So then, and that's not the end. You're still not a son. He cannot adopt you. He doesn't adopt you until you're an adult. When he adopts you, then you now inherit everything that God has, everything in heaven and earth. It's all yours. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and you are that new heaven and that new earth, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Muslim, it's not true. All the others are all idols. They're nothing. They don't even exist. They're just, Jupiter is just Japheth. I mean, all of that is just words. So men invent idols because they don't want to face God. Because God says, I wish you were cold. I don't mind you hating me, but you hate me without a cause. I don't mind that, because I could easily win you for my word. But because you're lukewarm, I can't even speak to you. So the day the church makes provision for homosexuality, it makes provision for Al-Qaeda, it makes provision for everything. People are scared, worried, not. God wants you to be happy every single day.
Amen.
How can you be happy every day? By faith. You don't have to even feel it or think it. Just get rid of the psychology. Psychology is just purely witchcraft. Purely. You can study it all day long. It'll get you nowhere. You will certainly not go to heaven. You're going to be bound here on earth, because everything that's taught today in the school system is all, how do you feel? What do you want? You know, what can we do for you? And if the world is crazy today, it's surreal. The Democrats are always trying to be kind, as though love would change the world. Does love set you free? Is there any scripture that says love sets you free? No. God's love sets you free through the truth. The truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. It doesn't say love. You can love people all day long, the Democrats. Love people all day long. Oh, let's have sanctuary cities. Let's be kind to people. They're mixing up church and state. The state is purely force. If you have a law and you don't enforce it, it's not a law. If you have a law and you can't enforce it, you don't have a law. All laws must be enforced. And it'd be better to have a dictator. It'd be better to have a dictator, at least mean, and then you know who he is, than to have these nice people who are pretending they're nice and they're crooked as all get out. They're corrupt as all get out. So the Republicans are no better, because they seem like mean and nasty people and so on. That's why they hate Trump. They hate Trump because he's a symbol of the Republican Party, which is just as lost as the Democrats. So there is no such thing as no sin. The children today are not disciplined. Very few. And if so, it should be the Christians that are producing wise and virtuous young people who are courageous enough to stand up for truth. There's no judges in this state who believe in justice. And that's why you don't have peace. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You don't have that. And you'll never have that till Jesus comes back. So you cannot have that today. But it could be in the church. But the churches are not the church. We are completely not hot. Kliaros. We're not hot. We're lukewarm. And so everything is mixed up today. Everything is mixed up today. So what? Don't worry about it. The Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see it again. It's just about over. Civilization is almost... every founding father in church history, everyone, without exception, you'd have to read them to know this, believe that there were only 7,000 years to church history, just the same as days in the week. 1,000 years is... That's how God numbers the years. 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. So there's only 7 days. Everyone believed that. Today, now we believe it's billions and, you know, millions or whatever. Silly stuff. If you add up the numbers in the Bible, following the Masoretic text, the official text for Jewish people, or you follow the Receptus Textus, if you follow the received text in the Western world, written in Greek, has some also Aramaic in Daniel and a couple other places, New Testament. But those, everything that's written there is actually the Word of God. It's not historically, those are facts. So that Bible, you can base everything on those facts. That's the truth that'll set you free. Nothing else. There's nothing else. God gave you that gift. So the best has been saved to the last. The best has been saved to the last. And we're at the last. I don't know when. I don't care. All I know is be ready today. Just be ready today. How many are ready today? By faith. By faith. I mean, just by faith. You say, I know God is good. You don't have to think about it and meditate on it and so on and so forth. It won't get you anywhere. Because you have to know what those words actually intend, mean, their connotation, their denotation. So the grammar is just regular grammar. But the King James is not perfect. Sometimes it'll say pistis instead of, you know, elpido and so on and so forth. But so what? It's enough to get you saved, but that's about it. But they leave out the deity of Christ. They leave out all the things that I talk about. Is this Bible is the truth that'll set you free. Well, I can say it because nobody can prove I'm right or wrong. There's no way to prove I'm right or wrong. It's just tradition. But it's right. I don't have two agendas. I just have one. I love Peggy with all my heart, soul, and strength. Period. And I'll never leave her or forsake her. Why? Because God said that. And since He said it, I can say it. So you say that to your wife. Did you say that this morning before you left?
I said all kinds of nice things to her.
Amen.
I had to talk to her on FaceTime.
Yeah.
I woke up early. I had to get out here.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you've changed over the years.
Oh, yeah. A lot.
He's from the Woodlands, so he had to drive all the way up here.
Yeah. I talked to her on FaceTime when I was driving in my truck this morning, with my little boy in the bed.
Yeah. Powerful. Anyway, you can live this life. How? It's easy. Just read the book. Just do whatever He says. Don't think about it. Just do it. Do whatever God says, and if you do it, it'll multiply. Anything you do based on the Word, not based on psychology and philosophy and pragmatism and so on, just based on that Word, that will flourish. It's impossible for that Word. You can prove it just in your own life. Just try saying only biblical words rather than your own words. So if you took the word obey, because you're supposed to obey God, it actually means obey the promise. It doesn't mean obey the law as forced, coerced, compelled. It just means believe the promise. So if you just believe the promise, that's why He's the Father of faith. You have everything. You have everything.
Yeah.
Because a promise is one-sided, unilateral. If it's one-sided, not bilateral, Moses... bilateral. If you do this, then I'll do this. If you do that, I'll do this. No, this one is unilateral. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven I wills. Those are promises. So when God says, I will, that means he's not counting on you to help Him. He's not wanting you to be a partner with Him, cooperate with Him, be a co-creator with Him, all that nonsense that humanists teach. You don't have to do anything. This is what people hate because they are afraid if they wait on God, He won't come through. Because they want to deify themselves and want pride in their own doing it. I did that. But you didn't do anything. God caused everything, everything, everything. So if even your repentance from God, even your faith, God, everything that God ever did, He is the only giver of every good and perfect gift. So God is good. All right. Praise God. Willis, closing prayer. Oh, communion. Communion. Where is it? Ah, okay. All right. In the night in which what? In which he was betrayed. He took bread. And when he had what? When he had broken it, when he broke it, he distributed it to each of them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." In other words, you're my body. You're my body. Not just the communion thing, that's a symbol. But you're my body. And I've given my body for you. I died for you, and now I want to live in you, and so on and so forth. And so this is good news for you, is that God is for you. He can't be against you. He's never been against anybody. He's never been an angry judge. Everyone thinks he's an angry judge. You change the priest, you change the law. Jesus is the high priest, therefore the law is now on your side. It changes the command into a promise. Not in this world. In this world, leave the law, be the law. It's for the government to do. You then are not under any laws except the law of Jesus, which makes you the blessing receiver from a blessing giver. That's what husbands do. Peter earns the money and Seal spends it. That's about it.
Oh, and God is not the author of every cattle on a thousand hills. Is he not able?
Yeah, he is able. Yeah, and he does it just for you and the kids. That's what he does it for.
And you too.
He's a perfect husband. So we're all blessed in this world. You don't need to see perfection. It's just a gift. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to merit it. It's just a free gift. That's good news. All right.